Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician, of body and soul. Thank you for tuning in to Lutheran Radio UK. This is Health Matters with Juliana Krieger. In this show, we explore the effects that illnesses have on patients and family in terms of psychological, social, and spiritual implications. Dr. Andrew Nicholson takes us through the more physical and practical aspects in the first part. Then we turn to Pastor Lynn Hansen, who considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both doctor and pastor also aim to give guidance and comfort to the burdened and weary soul, and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. A week ago, we spoke about skin diseases in general. Thank you for last week's comments. Today, we'll talk more specifically about skin cancer. Hello, Dr. Andrew. How many types of skin cancer are there, and how do they come about?
In this country, there are three sorts of skin cancer. There's the relatively benign basal cell carcinoma. We call them rodent ulcers. Another one is called squamous cell carcinoma. And there's the feared one, which is called a melanoma. And in fact, though they tend to occur in that sort of order of, in that basal cell carcinomas are quite common, squamous cell carcinomas are less common, and melanomas are even less common than that. A colleague of mine worked out that the rate of malignant change in moles are measured in the millions to one, because we all have many moles in our bodies and very few of us develop malignant melanomas. There's some work to suggest that there is a genetic tendency to develop malignant melanomas. I did have a patient who developed two, one on her leg and the other one in her eye, and that is an incredibly unlikely and uncommon presentation. And is probably there's a genetic aspect to it. However, basal cell carcinomas or rodent ulcers are small tumours that occur on the face usually, because it's to do with the amount of sun that the body has received. And my father had one on his nose, and it looked as if someone had been nibbling at it. That's why they're called rodent ulcers, because they rather like being nibbled by a rat. They are a locally occurring cancer. Now, cancer of the crab. Cancer was named that by the Romans because not only was the body where the shell was the primary, but it spread throughout the body like the rest of the legs of the crab. What the basal cell carcinoma does not do is do that. It does not spread elsewhere. It just sits there and quietly gnaws at your face. And in fact, some people can have these for several years before they decide to do something about it. I did have a patient of mine who came to see me with a rodent ulcer that was at least an inch across, but nobody noticed it because she was such a wonderful applier of makeup, as ladies tend to be. The treatment for this sort of tumour is excision, usually, although you can use radiotherapy. And also, if it's a small one, then you can use creams that have an anti-cancer component in them. Essentially, they are quite common, easily managed, and are not to be considered serious, in that the patient needs to almost run around like a headless chicken panicking about it. It just needs something to be managed, and it's part of the joy we have of getting old. A squamous cell carcinoma is a less common tumour. It tends to occur in the same sort of places as rodent ulcers, but they will tend to be much more florid, quicker growing, more ulcerated, and more heaped around the edge. And these have to be treated much more seriously. They need a proper wide excision, and the National Health Service in this country will treat it quite seriously. The melanoma that I've mentioned before is a rarer but more serious tumour, because it can and does spread elsewhere quite quickly unless it is removed in a quite draconian way. It is not a matter of just removing the tumour itself, but you need to remove the whole of the skin right down to the muscle for at least a centimetre around the tumour. And of course, this quite often will give quite a blemish. And sometimes people do need plastic surgery for this. Melanomas, as I said before, can present changes in a mole that include bleeding, satelliting, and ulceration. And any significant change in a mole needs to be taken to see your doctor for his opinion. When in doubt, it's important to send people on to experts about this so that they can be removed in an appropriate and timely manner.
There is always so much talk about the prevention of skin cancer. Honestly, what can we do in that regard?
I think those of us who have got little hair on our heads need to put factor 30 on the top part of our head and on our noses and our cheeks to make sure that we don't get too much exposure. Other than that, when we go out in the sun, it's wise to put a relatively low factor sunscreen on in these latitudes to make sure that we don't burn. But it is nevertheless important that we do have some sunlight hitting our skins so we can change the various precursors to vitamin D into vitamin D in our skins, because vitamin D is dramatically important in the strength of our bones. Without vitamin D, it becomes rickets in children and osteomalacia in adults, and this is a very serious disease. We can see that in poorly developed countries, when you can see people with dramatically bowed legs, which have occurred because of rickets. In the elderly, a lack of vitamin D can often present as osteoporosis and a sudden ability to break your bones.
What other aspects of skin diseases are there?
There are many other benign lesions of the skin. Common ones are birthmarks. Birthmarks very rarely cause any significant problems, unless they're on the face, in which case they can be a cause of bullying and other problems for the child. Very rarely do skin blemishes be associated with any changes in the brain. However, there are many other typical skin problems, including sebaceous cysts that become large. There are a group of people who regularly seem to grow sebaceous cysts. These are large nodules that occur underneath the scalp and on the skin, and quite often have got a punctum, a little hole in, but the sebaceous material hasn't been able to discharge through it, so it's formed a lake that's got bigger and bigger. And sometimes these can be pretty big. I quite often, once or twice a month, used to remove people's sebaceous cysts, pilar cysts, simply because it's not really nice to have a head that's full of lumps. People quite often come to the doctor saying, I'm worried about a mole. And if I'm not worried about it, and I've looked at it with my dermoscope, and yet they still are concerned, I will remove it with an elliptical excision, send it off to the path lab and see what grows. Very, very rarely am I surprised. But very, very occasionally, I think it's twice in my medical life, have I removed something that has turned out to be other than what it appeared to be.
Thank you very much. After this break, we'll be joined by Pastor Lynn Hansen, considering his experiences in the spiritual care of patients suffering from skin cancer. I'll be back shortly.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find a Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people. You're listening to Health Matters with Juliana Krieger. And now, over to Pastor Lynn. What are the spiritual challenges of those suffering from skin cancer?
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Greetings in the name of our risen living Lord and Savior, our intercessor, Jesus the Messiah. Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during times of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to cancers that afflict us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all who mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors. Cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Skin cancer, any type of cancer, is terrible. I think the diagnosis of cancer is one of the most frightening experiences a person suffers. Being told, "You have cancer," turns a patient's world upside down. Suddenly, without warning, the diagnosis changes the person's life. The patient's life focuses on visiting various medical professionals, surgeries, medications, loss of vitality, and side effect illnesses. The patient's life appears empty. It is like a sailing ship on a calm sea. Due to modern medicine, most people put their hope in the doctor, in chemotherapy, in surgery. Yet people die from skin cancer. Sadly, most people don't call out to the Lord to deliver them. Yes, Christians suffer illnesses, disease, and untimely death. No, confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior doesn't bring with it a life free of cancer or any other trouble. In my experience as a hospital chaplain, believers have a higher cure rate and suffer less than non-believers. They have the peace and assurance only God gives. They trust God that no matter the outcome, it is well with their soul. They have an attitude of joy that overcomes the negativity of such a terrible disease as skin cancer. Let us turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Hear now the word of God, as written by Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." During the first century, leprosy was a feared and horrible disease. It still is. To this day, leprosy remains predominantly incurable. Because it was easy to catch, lepers were not allowed in the city and were not allowed to approach others. That is why these 10 lepers kept their distance and called out to Jesus. Overall, these lepers were good people. They obeyed the laws. They stayed out of the city and did not approach Jesus or his followers. They believed in Jesus' ability to heal. They obeyed Jesus without question when he told them to go to the priests, even before they were healed. Why should they go to the priests? Well, in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 13, there's an explanation of how leprosy was handled under Moses' law. The priests were the men who decided whether leprosy was contagious or not. The priests had the power to declare these men healed and clean. So these men, being respectful, obedient, and trusting, went off to see the priests. What they weren't thinking was being thankful. Only one of the men, when he learned that they were healed, was grateful enough to return to praise Jesus. Do you think he was the only one that was happy? I doubt it. Do you think it was easy for him to be the only one to return Jesus? Probably not. He wanted to be declared clean by the priests so he could return to his family, his job, his friends, his former lifestyle. But he was thankful enough to stop in his tracks, turn around, and go and thank Jesus and praise God for this wonderful gift of healing. As I said earlier, upon learning of the diagnosis of cancer, many people don't call out to God. They don't place their trust in the one who truly heals. They trust the world to save them. They trust the government to provide medical care that will fix their problem. They forget to thank God for his mercy. Praise God for his unending mercy. Praise God for loving us when we fail to love him, to thank him for his bountiful blessings. No, skin cancer isn't a blessing. Skin cancer, any cancer, comes from living in a sin-filled world. Thank God for medical staff, drugs, treatments, and hope. Thank God for relieving us of our greatest cancer, sin. God sent his Son, Jesus, to redeem all people from sin. Jesus' atoning death on a cross paid the price for our sin. Jesus redeemed us from sin and death. Yes, we will suffer illness. Yes, we will eventually die. But we, in Christ, Live our lives filled with joy in knowing that we have salvation, the gift of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God never promised to make life trouble-free. God promises to remain with us, to support and sustain our faith unto life everlasting. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we cry out to you during our times of affliction. If it be your will, remove that which afflicts us in body, mind, and soul. Always support and sustain our faith in you. Never let our trust, our confidence in you waver. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. Guide, guard, and direct our faith, keeping us always steadfast in that one true faith until life everlasting. Amen. May I suggest to you that if you don't have a church home, to contact Lutheran Radio UK for help in finding one. Belonging to the body of believers is tremendous support. Also, take time this week to read the book of Luke. See how God brought life and salvation to humankind through Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is Chaplain Hansen saying, so long for now.
Thank you. That was Clinical Chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us from St. Paul in Minnesota. We'll come back with you and Dr. Andrew Nicholson next week. We look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, which you can email to us on info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Remember that the podcasts of Health Matters are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Feel free to share them with your friends. Use the spread the word function on our website. Join us again next week when our topic will be fibroids. Goodbye for now and God bless.
Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's children.